Hey everybody, welcome back to Laughing Without Fear. This is Jaewoo.
This is Iz.
And we have another special guest for you.
Woo!
We get to have my mother on the podcast today.
Yay!
Hello everyone. Thanks for inviting me to join you guys.
We are so happy that you're here.
We
Mom
are.
Connie.
Yeah, so her name is Connie. You could also call her Mama C. A lot of people do. So that is acceptable as well.
So, and long-time listener, first time being a podcast.
First time caller, was that you? That's dating you a little bit there, Mom.
That's all right. I own it.
Okay, so, Iz, what are we talking about today?
I am so excited to talk about the topic of identity. Ooh, oh my gosh.
That's such a big topic.
It is, but we have some wisdom in the house. We have...
True.
Yeah, and I know that our conversation today is really going to be just packed with so much insight from both of you, but, you know, obviously from our honored here guest, but we always start with a little thankfulness.
Yeah, we do.
And I'm just wondering, Mama Connie, what are you so thankful for today?
Today, I am thankful for the almost 3 weeks I've gotten to spend with my daughter in person, live and in color. Sorry. You know me.
It's fine. That we're all about laughing here.
Obviously, she's been in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So getting to be able to have her visit has been wonderful.
True.
Oh. Yeah. And I'm super thankful to be, you know, having you here, but I think a lot of the time I don't get to honor you and say how grateful I am for you. And so today I'm especially thankful for you. And I was thinking about it on the way here, and I was playing this Justin Bieber song, and I and I was just thinking of how much fun it's been getting to know you for, I don't know, like all our time together. But I don't think one of our friends reached out, I think, I don't know when, a week or two ago.
Yes.
And
oh my gosh.
It was so fun.
Yes.
Longtime friend. And I remember he kind of brought this up, how like, maybe you're not honored enough. And so I just wanted to take this time to say you're so honored, you're so loved, and you're so crucial to not just me, but so many of our friends' lives. And you just don't maybe hear that a lot, and I wanted to just reassure that today.
Aw, thank you.
Love you, and I'm so grateful.
Love you too.
Yeah.
Wow, well, I'm thankful for that right now. My goodness. But I think, honestly, I'm thankful for being here the last 3 weeks too. I feel really refreshed. I feel a lot of like renewed hope in the Lord, and even maybe the calling the Lord has on my life, and the calling that the Lord has on me and my husband's life together.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think also just getting to be with my people, like getting to be with people who know me and have known me for a really long time. Not that I'm not so thankful for the new friends I'm making in the Netherlands, because I am, but it is a little bit different being with people who have known you for so long, and you know, we've lived together, and you know, things like that, in like my church community that I've
we've lived together too.
That's true, we have. But like our church community in general that I've been a part of for like what, 17 years now or something like that. So I was just, it's been really refreshing being home. I am really excited to go home and see my husband though. Like I do miss him a lot. So, but it has been really nice being here, the last 3 weeks. And
I would echo what you said though, Izzy. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are so many people that love Jessica and talk to me about what an amazing impact she's had on their lives.
Absolutely.
Her sister would be one of them who is, as you guys know, is her biggest fan here. There's been such a transformation in their relationship where they value and see each other and appreciate each other so much.
We really love you.
I did not expect that. My goodness. Thanks, guys. That's so nice.
Yes. And dun, going back to identity, though, I know that we're all really excited to talk about it, too. But I just wanted to like make sure you knew that today. We have so much to
unpack.
Yet we are going to start with one verse.
Yes.
And do you have it on you right
now? I do. Boom. I do. Okay, so you know that I've said this before, my favorite is NASB, but today I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified version, which if you don't really know, it kind of just like gives a little extra oomph to the scriptures, which I love. So we're looking at 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 and 18. Just for context, this is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the Corinth church. So there's lots of stuff in here that he talks about, but just so that you know the story behind where this is written for. So it's written for the church. So it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition have passed away. Behold, new things have come, because spiritual awakening brings a new life. But all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, making us acceptable to him, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Wow. So that by our example, we might bring others to him.
That's so good.
Yeah, the part where we are grafted in, mm-hmm. just that alone, that is in the flesh. Like I remember taking, I think it was like a botany class in college.
Ooh, okay.
And we had a graft in a rose into another colored, I think another rose, but they were all completely different colors.
That sounds so cool, actually.
But the work, but with we're just listening to the, you know, the verse with it's when you do it through Christ and the things that he brings you in, it almost sounds like all that work that you could quote unquote do alone. And when you think about it in culture, when you have to graft in yourself, like a new work culture, a new different things,
right?
There's so many components, but with the grace of God, like we get all these things through Jesus.
Totally.
Wow.
Well, if you think about it, so when he's talking about grafting in, he's referring to the chosen people that God had in the Old Testament, which are the Israelites.
Right.
So he had this promise with them, this whole, you know, the Ten Commandments, all these things, these laws that he gave to the Israelites, and the promise of, you know, the promised land and all these things that he told them about. Well, when Jesus died on the cross and he's saying we're grafted in, that means we are also now chosen people and a part of that promise as well. That's what he's referring to.
Absolutely. And we don't have to be us from a specific lineage.
Yes.
Through Christ, exactly. We are able to have access through all of this fruit, basically.
Jew and Gentile.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We haven't even had to pay the price that the Israelites paid.
Right. Very true.
People that we inherited.
Yes.
Wow, mind blowing on that too.
For sure. Well, and I think also like the Old Testament, you know, they had to make sacrifices in order to earn forgiveness, right? And that was how they did their atonement. But because of Christ's blood, now we don't have to do that anymore because Christ paid for all of it. Yeah. So that is another huge thing too, that it's like we're really walking in such an era of blessing post-Christ, for sure. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that we don't have to keep kosher, because then we're going to have cheeseburgers.
No bacon.
No cheeseburgers. Ooh. Like the meat, right? Isn't it meat and cheese you can't mix? So that'd be so hard. That's always like cheeseburgers. I got distracted.
Well, yeah, you probably know a little bit more about that than I do. But I was just thinking like bacon in general.
Yeah, that's true. I love bacon.
I know, me too.
Yeah, so good.
I have had halal burgers though in the Middle East. Not great. I'm not going to lie. They're not great. It's like they look kind of gray. Like,
I never had
the juices are out of them.
What's the difference? I actually don't. I don't know what halal truly is.
It's pretty similar to
kosher.
To kosher, okay. Yeah. So basically, because you know when you have a raw burger, there's a lot of like blood and juices.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Say not to have blood, so they remove all of that out of the burger, so it kind of looks gray.
Yeah, because
no pinkness to it.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, yeah. I like a little. A little juice.
me too.
Oh my gosh, but this is I think that's such a cool verse to just kind of get us, you know, in that mindset of what the benefit is now as part of our identity.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm talking about it just because I, you know, Jonah, I think we had Jonah on there last, but if you are just starting to listen, we had my husband who is Jewish just on our last podcast. And I'm thinking, thank goodness I didn't have to like convert or I'll do all these things, right? Because having to have a lifestyle and having, you know, just it'd be so different. But with Christ, we don't, there's, I forget the verse, I should look it up. Google should have done a little more. I didn't know we were going to go on the kosher, all this other stuff. But what I am really saying is I cannot imagine. So, and I've thought about this before, what it would be like having to do like all the sacrificial things, like, you know, post that era. Right. And with Christ, it's like we get all these things.
Yeah. Well, actually, this is kind of a little off topic. Sorry. But I did do a Nazirite vow for 1 year. Mm-hmm. And that it's not quite the same as doing, you know, the Old Testament, whatever. But it is quite restrictive, you know, because you weren't allowed to cut your hair. You weren't allowed to touch anything that was dead.
So you didn't shave for a year. I'm just kidding.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that.
I'm being silly.
No, actually, now that you say that, I probably shouldn't have shaved. I think I did.
I don't know if you can.
Praise his name. Anyway, we're saved by grace. But I couldn't eat anything that's from the vine, which means alcohol, but also any vinegar. So the vinegar is literally in everything. It was so restrictive.
So hard.
It was challenging. But also there's such fruit that came out of it. Because, well, if you don't know, the Nazirite vow is like a consecration type thing. So it ended up being really cool. But it was, I would not be able to do that forever. Like 1 year was hard.
Right.
So
speaking of consecration, though, I know you guys have a little exciting... I know you definitely want to like share a little bit more about like our identity and names you know, not to like steal the thunder here, but took me off on this one thought of what our names, like how impactful it can be.
It's true.
And how I remember taking this impact discipleship program through our church, and I remember our leader that year printed our name and with the definition of it in the Hebrew, and then gave it to me and whoever else was in our group. And I remember that oath and consecration was a part of my name. Mm-hmm. And I actually have it somewhere, but I know I have it for sure at home because I keep a lot of these cards. I have all my cards. And I remember how much that year specifically it lifted me to staying on course, because I was a little dibble dabble in the Red Roof House and after the Red Roof House, after our discipleship program and our program.
Same girl.
And it's not been easy. Yeah. I'm not going to lie that this path for me has been easy.
Yeah.
But with that reminder and having it physically in my hand and seeing it constantly in my Bible or my books that I had at the time was such a big deal.
Yeah.
No,
absolutely. Names have so much power. Actually, Mom, I think you really wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I was asking the Lord what he would want me to share, because Jess mentioned that it would be about identity. And I feel like he told me, out of the years that I've dealt with this, learning who I am, I felt like he said, wanted me to encourage you to learn and lean into who God has created you to be. Because even in the scripture that you read today, the old passed away. So many times people draw their identity between who their father was or who their parents were, or even the generational things. Well, I always come from alcoholics or these people, you know. And the Lord is saying that's the old. Look to the new. And then I think especially among women, we often are so bound up by comparing ourselves to each other. And so looking, I want to be just like them, or I want to be like them. And all of that adds more frustration to our lives than freedom and fulfillment in learning who God's called us to be, and then just leaning into that.
Right.
And so it's funny you talk about impact. Jess mentioned when we were just talking earlier, this was my 13th year going through impact. And so I've been given my name every year. And my name means constant, a loyal one. But
very true.
The enemy has almost tormented me with it a little bit, because I've never looked at myself as being constant. I feel like I'm up and down. My emotions can be up and down. You know, my house is a mess. My house is clean. You know, I'm feeling good. I'm not feeling good. Yeah. You know, and so it almost was a little bit of a torment for me.
Wow.
And a couple of years ago, I heard a pastor talk about how the Lord asked him to ask him for a birthday present every year.
Mm-hmm.
And so every year he would ask the Lord for a birthday gift. And so I started doing that.
Oh my gosh, I should do that.
I know.
I know. It's so beautiful. I kid you not. I wake up in the morning, and so many times when I first wake up on my birthday, I don't remember it's my birthday. And the Lord is like, do you want me to tell you what I got you?
Aww. Oh, that's so sweet. He's such a dad.
He's so excited.
Yeah.
And 1 year, what he gifted me was, I had a whole bunch of friends around, and I was just sharing this with them, you know, that I struggle with this. And my friend said, there's a difference between being constant and being consistent. Constant here is an adjective that describes something or someone as unchanging, loyal, or happening all the time. And what it means is that, and then the other one is consistent. Consistent describes something or someone as continuing to happen the same all the way. So consistent means there's no variation.
No change.
Like total linear, just,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Constant means they may be going up and down, but they're always still moving towards the same direction.
Wow.
Whoa,
and
whoa.
It just broke that lie from the enemy.
Snap.
Wow. That I know I am constant. I am constant.
Yeah.
I am someone that continuously pursues the Lord.
And people.
Loves my, yeah, people, loves mm-hmm. my family. I may not always being as loving as I want to be. So there may be ups and downs, ebbs and flows. But so for me, identity has just definitely been a journey,
yeah.
not just in my relationship with the Lord, because I would feel condemned that I wasn't, was I reading the Bible every morning?
Yeah.
You know, was I doing this every time? I wasn't always consistent,
mm-hmm.
but I'm constantly pursuing Him.
Yeah, you know, people who don't know Mama C, I will tell you this. So she said this is her 13th year doing this discipleship program. Well, some of the most of the leaders in our church have all had her as a leader. They've been mentored by her. And most people will tell you, oh gosh, my impact year was the best because Mama C was my leader.
That's right.
And she's not just a mom, like we say Mama C, but she's truly a mother of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the people will tell you this, like she's constantly encouraging people. She has such a gift of encouragement. And she also gives the best hugs. Everybody says that.
Mm-hmm.
And she is constantly like pursuing people and like wanting to like bring out the best in them or to be there when they're in their worst of times too. Especially like you don't shy away from being vulnerable about the things the Lord has done in your life to encourage others in their life.
That's right. I remember when actually mm-hmm. I went to college and I was just actually going to Central Washington for the longest. I don't think I've told you this, but I don't have any pictures or cards around my house. Even now, I actually don't have any, even of like my baby, but which I don't know why I'm like that, but
mm-hmm.
I think that maybe that's something that God is working through me. But I've only kept one picture in college. That took me a while to get out, and then the card that you gave me,
wow.
and it was this ballerina on the outside of the card, and it was just a card full of the one paragraph. It was pretty packed, but it was basically speaking identity over me,
wow.
and to continue to be childlike. And I had that for like until I met Jonah, and until we got married. I to this day I don't have another picture, and I don't have another card, anything on like the fridge or anything. But I don't know that you knew that. And it, for the longest time, if I would have like a bad day at school, I would come and like look at it, and I'd be like, this is who I'm called to be. And you have impact. Like, I knew you weren't like my leader in impact, but you, mm-hmm. you've done so much that I don't think that it's like those little things that have really changed the outcome of how I was going to treat my roommate that
right.
day, or I was going to finish my homework and think that my future, it was like, if I finish college, like the strength I needed to like do my homework, because I knew that I had to get to the other side for like my, you know, it was like this bigger thing. And so I just wanted to thank you for that. But then also, you know, I agree, like your mom has served so much and done so much that I don't think we all see. And every time I see you, you're just full of love. And so I think that's part of our identity is like we can step into that, and we don't have to, you know, do these grand things. Like these are the things that God calls us to do as part of identity, to love others, and to, because we are daughters and we are our identity is in Him, and He's able to give that fruit, like being grafted again. Like we're able to have that much to give, and I'm just so honored, you know, to be with you today, but spend this time and continue to grow more. And
totally.
Yeah.
So sweet. Yeah. Thank you.
I don't know if you knew that.
I did not. Yeah. I don't remember that at all.
I still have. I should send you a picture when I get home of it.
The funny thing is like, that's not surprising to me. Like, there are so many people that say things like that to her all the time. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's just who she is.
Yeah.
But that reminds me back to the scripture we read where it says that He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Like, by our example, we might bring others to Him. She just lives her life and just as an example and does the things the Lord tells her to do. And but it impacts so much. And just like we were talking about with Jonah the last week, like, maybe one of the treasures, or maybe the treasures in heaven, is getting to know all of the lives we impact someday.
I was thinking of that when I was listening to
I was like, that is like, I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but no, I could totally see that 100%. Being something, you know?
Yeah. There's an old Ray Bolts song that is, it says, "Thank you for giving to the Lord."
Oh, yes, I know that song.
And it says, "I'm a life that was changed." And what it is that it's, I'm just crying, but you got me started crying.
I'm sorry.
You know, it's getting real emotional up in here, y'all.
But it's that, it's a, you're, this person is in heaven, and they see the long line of people that they impacted in their life. Like even just giving to a missionary, and then that missionary went over here, and this person got saved from that.
Right.
But I think, you know, with our subject of identity, I think we can't have the fullness of our impact in this world unless we step in, lean in to the identity God's created for us.
Totally.
Yeah.
If I, you know, if any of us were trying to push and I want to be that, I want to be that, and not walking in what He's gifted us and called us and you know, formed us to be, we're not, it's always going to be contentious.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, here's the something that I was waiting to kind of go back to this. So if you think about in the Bible, the names have such a big impact. And even if you, I mean, most people may not know this, even if you go through and look up the origins of each of the names that are spoken in the Bible, they're given for a reason, because they usually give context to who that person is.
Yeah.
Names really mean a lot. And God does not give names by accident.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if you look at like specifically the life of Jesus, he was, the God told him, like, you're naming him Jesus. Like, He already gave him a name and like what that means and everything. And then if you think about his life, his younger life, when he was younger, was learning about who he was, right? Mm-hmm. That was about going to the temple. That was about all these different things and like building character and learning what your identity is. And then in his 30s is when his ministry started, after he learned who he was.
Mm-hmm.
So that is like important in our own lives, that when we're, you know, younger. But even it doesn't matter. It's never too late to learn who you are.
Mm-hmm.
But once you learn who you are, then you're able to step out in what God calls you to be, because you're rooted in what the Lord, how He made you and who you are.
Yeah.
So I think that's an important piece too. And I think that can segue for us into learning about what our names mean.
Yeah.
So we learned about... Yes. What your name means. Did you have anything else that you wanted to say about that?
No, I think that's great. Well, just in the little bit that we were studying this before our time, I just learned a lot more about my name.
That's what I mean. I
want to hear more about your guys. But it just was something that just encouraged me even more. Even though I've studied it and heard it for 13 years through Impact.
Right.
As I just did additional study, it took it even further.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, I'll just go through what we, so I, Mom, actually, you knew before you gave me the name that, previously I've heard that Jessica means like rich,
in love
or beloved, that too. But this actually gave a different.
You're like rich. Like, well, yes.
That was one of the years. Because that's the thing. I've also done Impact a lot. So yeah. Every year they try to put a new spin on it. So I've gotten different things over the years too.
That's nice.
But this is something that I had not heard before. So I found recently when we were learning, doing this, that they said that it derives from the Hebrew name Yiska.
Wow.
Yeah, which is spoken in Genesis, which is Abraham's niece, actually.
Whoa.
And it means foresight or one who sees. I was like, oh, okay. And then there was a scripture or there's something I wanted to say about it. Oh, it also does mean like grace and beauty, which it's like inner beauty where it talks about like there was a scripture in 1 Peter about that. What was the thing I wanted to say about it?
Really, well, you are beautiful.
That's right. Thanks. While you're looking that up, yes, I forgot. You're right, Jessica. The other thing that I saw today was that it talks about the connection of community.
Oh, that's right. And for that, Connie. Yes. Yes, right. Mm-hmm.
And that is what has been a passion of mine. Yeah. Because it's what... I did a small teaching at Impact this last time, and it was on community, and I said, you know, Jesus saved my spirit so that I could have eternal life in heaven with him. But God used community to save my soul on earth so I could know what heaven on earth was like.
Mm-hmm.
And so... community is truly what has transformed my life here.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool, Mom. I just now read something that's crazy to me. Okay, so context. I recently had some, I call them my wisdom women. They're women that speak into my life and mentor me. Most of them, oh no, all of them were from this Impact Discipleship program. So I recently got a prophetic word about being, well, this is something I've had more than once, about being like a mother of nations, mm-hmm. and reference to Abraham and Isaac, or mm-hmm. Abraham and Sarah, and then also about having children and Isaac and stuff like that. Well, this just said here that it also is thought to be another name for Sarah, the wife of Abraham.
Whoa.
And that it's talking about how Sarah is known for her unwavering faith and fulfillment of God's promises through her son Isaac.
Isn't her name mean laughter too? Because she laughed, and I think it says in the scripture in Genesis, oh, because you laughed, your name is Sarah, and because it was Sarai,
yeah,
and now it's Sarah. See that, because how many of us know you for your laugh?
Well, come on now.
Yeah.
People tell me that they miss hearing her laugh.
Okay, that is actually something that is so funny but kind of embarrassing, that you can actually hear my laugh on the like church recordings. One time it happened when I was in the sound booth, like the opposite end of the entire sanctuary, and someone still could hear my laugh on the recording. I was like, oh my gosh.
But I'm not surprised. You know, when you're hearing the meaning, you're thinking, oh yeah, I could see that. And definitely one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, rich in love, mother of nations, laughter.
Oh my goodness. Okay, well, what about your name?
Well, I remember just that it means oath or consecrated to God, but I think I could look it up more.
No,
but
I have it here that I was looking it up, so let me...
One of my my middle name, this is probably given away too much.
Oh yeah, Mom, you looked that up. That's true.
But
right?
Miriam, I have always really liked my middle name, mm-hmm. even though I don't, you know, like most people don't go by their middle names constantly, or they don't call you like Izzy Miriam, you know.
Unless you're in trouble.
That's true. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. This is what I was wanting to say. So, because when we were looking up your name, Elizabeth is the mother of John the Baptist.
That's right.
And it was saying that Elizabeth's story demonstrates the importance of trusting in God's promises and remaining faithful even in challenging circumstances, which is totally you. And that's something that you've so done. And then it said here, where was it? Yeah, and that God can fulfill his promises in unexpected ways. And that when Elizabeth met with Mary, Jesus's mom,
mm-hmm.
it talked about how that Elizabeth affirmed Mary's faith and recognizing the unique calling in her life. Elizabeth modeled the type of encouragement that believers should offer to one another, which is also you. You're also really good at encouraging others. I feel like constantly you're texting me and encouraging me and saying, I was praying for you, I was thinking about you, blah, blah, blah. Like, you are so good at that, Izzy.
Mm.
Like, you're just like constantly encouraging people and lifting other people up. And so I think that's totally fits for your name as well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I actually really enjoy it. I think when usually that happens because usually have been praying or something, God's like, you should, you know, let them know that I have their back, and I'm thinking, okay, he'll do it. But it does kind of put you in a vulnerable position sometimes, because you're kind of, okay, I'm believing for you. Yeah. And you know, and I don't know how that person, I mean, you might be having the greatest day of your life and you're like, yeah, and then you might be also having not the greatest day of your life and you're probably like, okay, this is awesome, but at the same time, this is not my reality. And so I do get a little bit nervous about doing it, but I try to be, you know, obedient on the small things. But
yeah, well, I feel like every time that you've sent that to me, I needed it at the moment. So I feel like it was always perfect timing, where it was like, oh, I'm just having a rough day, and I maybe even didn't realize that I needed encouragement, and then all of a sudden you're encouraging me, and I was like, oh wow, that actually was so nice and helpful.
Well, and the other thing is, the Bible says that God breathes on his word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when we speak his word, even through text, then he can breathe on it and life in somebody's heart.
Yeah.
If we don't speak the word,
right,
he's not able to breathe on it.
Whoa.
And
snap.
So it says, it goes along, Miriam, your middle name goes along with it. It says Miriam was gifted with the ability to communicate messages from God to the Israelites. Her spiritual insight and wisdom were highly respected among her people, and she was instrumental in guiding them through challenging times.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
This is better than the Enneagram. I know the Enneagram is such a big thing around Christian circles, but look up your name. Yeah.
Well, yes and no.
Yeah. But you know what I'm talking about.
No, it's true. I mean, I definitely, when I got into YWAM, got sucked into the Enneagram. Because all of the girls that were around me were like, what's your Enneagram? And I'm like, what are you talking about? But yeah, now it's definitely gained a lot of popularity. But that's true. I feel like, because, well, to be fair, Enneagram, like, people are not quite sure about the roots of all of that. Mm-hmm. But when it's rooted in scripture and rooted in the word, then it's like there's such more depth to the meaning of it.
I mean, I can watch a commercial and God can speak to me.
Well, yeah,
so,
true.
You know, I mean, I think it's, like you said, depending upon how the ears that you're hearing it with.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So cool.
I know.
Right? Wow.
It's like the Lord had a plan for each of us and gave us the name accordingly.
Oh, snap.
I know. How crazy.
Learn it and lean into it.
Well, that reminds me of the scripture. I don't know the address of, like, I knitted you and formed you in the womb. I knew you before you were born. Thank you. I was like, I'm pretty sure Mom's going to know what it was. should we read that scripture, actually? Is that?
Sure.
Yeah. I can look it up. Because I feel like that's worth, saying. Are you going to do it, Mom?
I will look it up.
Okay, great. But it's just talking about how the Lord, like, literally formed us and, like, created us with a purpose when he made us. And and I think it's so true. Like, the Lord knows before, you know, like, what you are meant to do, what you're called to do, like, who you are. Like, he knows all those things, even more than we know about ourselves, you know?
Right.
So it's so good to make sure that our identity is rooted in the Lord and not in anything else. Because it's so easy to, like, you know, like, okay, I'm a tech person. It's easy for me. I've done that before where I had my identity in what I was capable of doing, especially like I ran the media team at our church. So for a while, like I felt like my identity was that I was a media person, but that's not necessarily rooted in the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's rooted in my abilities. And that's not how it should be. Like, we got to make sure that our identity is rooted in who God says that we are, because otherwise there is not a fulfillment or even like it doesn't bring life in the same way when we have our identity and other things.
Yeah.
So it says don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll make straight your paths.
Right.
So okay, I've got Jeremiah.
Okay. Nice.
I love the Message Bible.
Oh yeah.
That's what I'm reading this year.
Okay, nice.
And so it says, before I shaped you in the womb, this is Jeremiah 1:5, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you, a prophet to the nations. That's what I had in mind for you.
Wow.
And so I love it. It's like, I had holy plans for you.
That was what stood out to me, too. Is there anything, like Mama C, that where you have maybe taken on some time in your life where you thought, okay, this is part of my identity, but then it wasn't you know, now you're like, oh, it wasn't part of the holy plan. Yeah. Is there anything, or maybe it was, right? But is there, yeah, is there something that you've taken on that, and how did that impact your life?
You know, I think for me, probably the worst identity I've taken on has been almost the thing that's brought me down, in that if I'm not consistent, then I'm not really, not saved, but I'm just not really honoring the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that was the opposite of being the constant. Mm-hmm. And so it actually, I mean, believe me, there's so much in my testimony, but I walked away from church for 10 years, even after being a missionary in India, because I felt like I couldn't be, that I wasn't being a very good Christian. I felt like I was constantly disappointing the Lord, and I was on this gerbil wheel, and I'd be like, okay, I'm going to try again, and then I'd fail, and I'd be like, oh, he's disappointed, and so then I just stopped, because I'm like, I know I'm going to disappoint him, and I, in some ways, I would even stop repenting, because I'm like, I can't say that I'm never going to do it again. So there was such a lie that bound me up in trying to be this perfect Christian. You know, that did everything that they were supposed to do right all the time.
That's so, that's a constant, it's a common conversation that I have with so many friends, and Jonah a lot, like, how, especially for friends that were doing this one, I think it's called Alpha at our church.
Oh yeah.
And it's kind of getting to know more about in depth where Christians or new Christians, or just kind of people that have been
exploring
Christian,
exploring the faith.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good way to put it. They're kind of been asking, you know, how to free friends, like, tell us, well, it is, I feel like I can't commit to all the things, or I'm not doing everything that God says in the Bible I need to do to be in good grace, right? That's what people say. But, and growing up Catholic, I could totally relate to that, because so many times I would wake up and thinking, like, today I've gone to church, I, you know, did confession, it's a brand new week. And then Monday would come, and then I would sin again. I would, you know, compare myself, envy other girls at school. I'm like, why don't I look like this? I don't, you know, and I knew that was sin. And so I was just kind of going this wheel of, oh, no. And then when I realized, oh, God, part of our, part of the, of the gifts that God gives us and grafts us in, kind of what we learned earlier was that, like, reconciliation, redemption, and just that love and acceptance that only God can give is so real. And you, when you really start to walk in it, and you, it's like, and now as a parent, I'm like, God, David doesn't have to do literally anything to, like, earn my love. And he'll always be so much loved, and probably more as he grows, and my love grows for him even more. That it's, honestly, I love that we're having this conversation, because it almost does seem like that's such a common topic among Christian, but as a parent, you kind of know, like, that's almost impossible, and God definitely,
I was gonna say that has roots in religion, and like that works mentality of like, I have to earn God's love. But it's very interesting, because if you know, like, the process of how that works, when we get saved, or when we, you know, we say that we are a sinner and we believe that Christ is our Savior, it says we're a new creation, right? Well, that is, you know, you, that is very true. You are a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. But there is a, such a thing called sanctification, and that is the process that we all go through of becoming more like Christ. So even though we're saved and we're a new creation, that doesn't mean we're instantly going to be perfect. And it doesn't mean that we're ever going to be perfect. Because we'll, Jesus was the only one that was ever truly perfect. That's the reason he was able to die on the cross for our sins.
If we expect ourselves to be perfect, that's almost as if saying we don't need
But sanctification is that as you go along the process, as you walk with Jesus, you will become more like him, right? Pastor Lon, actually, there was a, something that I remember him saying, and I'm not going to necessarily say it the way he did, but basically he said the way that you can mark or see how much you've matured is that when you come to an issue or a sin issue that you've faced in the past, if you go to God quicker than the last time before.
Oh, snap. Yeah.
I know. So I'm like, I use that as a marker. I'm like, were there things that I'm working on in my life, or things that I'm, you know, maybe that have come up more than once? Do I go to God faster than I did the last time? Because that's how I know I'm growing.
Yes.
The other thing that I've learned is that it's not about white-knuckling it.
Yes.
It's not about, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it. It's about having the Lord and learning inside, what is it about me inside? What lie am I believing on the inside?
Right.
That's leading me to do this or think this or whatever. Healing comes from the inside out.
Yes, exactly.
Religion, like you said, Jessica, that's the outside in.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to fake it till I make it.
Right.
No. True relationship with God is having that healing from the inside, and then starts to reflect outside.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely.
Well, and I think that's the same with like trauma or things from the past. Like people, you know, think, oh, if we just talk about it, it's going to be better. But really, true healing only comes from walking through that with Christ. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that's, yeah. So just like we're talking about with identity, everything has to be done rooted in Christ in order for it to be true or fulfillment in the way that the Lord intended, I guess.
I know it sounds funny too. I would say the Lord's, what I've learned is the Lord is really only working in me on maybe one or two things at a time.
Right. It's true.
We look at all these things around us.
Yeah.
That, oh, I wish I should be doing that. I should be doing this.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, I love that you brought your son into this, because it's like, you're not expecting him to learn and do five, you know, 20 different things all at once.
Right, yeah.
You know, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, you didn't do this. You're like working on one or two things with him.
Yeah, like literally just growing, like
say
eating.
Say mama.
Like what, literally one of the, I'm like, today we're just, or you know, this season, like this
Let's
1 month.
Some solid
foods.
Yes. All these other things the enemy is bringing up to you.
Yes.
As a distraction,
as a
almost.
Distraction,
yes.
And
yeah.
Condemnation.
Yep.
You can say, you know what, Lord, I know this is the area. I'm bringing this to you. And
right.
He will allow, I always say, it's like the old way that they used to purify gold.
Mm-hmm.
They would turn up the heat.
Right.
All this gunk would rise to
yes,
the top.
Right, the sediment, yeah. And you have to get it out.
And then they would scrape it off.
Yep.
And that, and so
but
I
it's
can,
also a process. It happens more than once.
Turn up the heat.
So I get excited when I start seeing this itch come out of me.
Yeah.
Because I know, okay, you're bringing
that's
it to
good.
The surface. And
right.
You're going to give me a breakthrough and revelation.
Right. And that's the other thing, too. Sometimes
like
we think we have to find the things that are wrong with us.
Yes.
Sweetie, the Lord will tell you in the right time what's
yeah.
you know, he'll bring it up to you. And he also does it in a loving and kind way, usually, too. Unless sometimes,
and that's also how you know.
Right. Well, sometimes the Lord will be like, girl, stop. And I'm like, okay. Like, he doesn't, he still says it in a loving way, but he sometimes has to be a little bit more forceful with me because I'm not listening. So I'll say that. But
there's
he.
Always hope.
But well,
yes.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I don't feel devastated or like depressed or like downtrodden when he brings things up. It's more like, hey, I want to work on this. I'm gonna take care of it. And you're
yes.
like, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think it's good. I think like we really went through pretty deep on this topic, and
I'm amazed how much we've covered.
It's true. But I think it starts with knowing who you are.
Absolutely.
And also whose you are, too. So I think we have talked about wanting to have as a challenge, look up what your name means. And look
biblically.
Up... Biblically, yeah.
That's why I usually look up my name, biblical meaning.
Yeah, because that will give you so much insight into who God's made you to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a first step. Like, if you're not sure about who... Like, I don't know who I am. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, that's a great first step. Look up what your name means. And I promise you, you'll be shocked.
Yeah, because there are other places out there that'll show your name, but it'll be not biblical.
Yes,
that's
true.
Some
you, absolutely.
You stuff.
What was that? I'm so sorry. What was that?
I agree.
You. I don't know.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. It's been wonderful. And thanks everybody so much for listening, and we will catch you in a couple weeks.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye, fam.